Joining us now, former PGA of America president and author of the book Unfriended, Ted Bishop joins us. What's going on, Ted?
Hey, Mark and Mike. How are you guys doing today?
Man, we are doing awesome, doing awesome. We got a little thing called the Ryder Cup coming up next week. We were just discussing in our last segment with the task force being created to and the last pick to kind of get the hot hand going on. When you start looking at the Tour Championship this week, who's the hot hand? Who's the guy that's going to get picked?
Well, I think it's a great question. I mean, if you look at the leaderboard after two rounds, Kevin Chappell obviously would be the hot hand at this point in time. But, you know, I think the intent of having this last pick after the Tour Championship was obviously in the event you had circumstances similar to Billy Horschel a couple of years ago, when we went to Glen Eagles. And, you know, that's not going to be the case. And, I almost question why you would wait until after the Tour Championship when you're going to wind up adding a 12th player to your team that is not going to be in the same situation that Horschel was in. I think I might have wanted to go ahead and do the pick early ahead of time and just get my team set so I could kind of figure out where I wanted to go from a pairing standpoint, unless the team's already set. We don't know it.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing has played out the opposite of what they had hoped. Between the Sunday night announcement during the NFL football game, dumb idea, the notion of waiting this long to see if there's a hot hand, you know, if indeed that was anticipating a Horschel situation, the Horschel situation was very unusual. To expect that and plan around it doesn't make any sense. So with that said, if it's not going to be Chappell, who DL3 probably hasn't spoken to, he says, I mean, Ted, who's it going to be? And can any of us defend it no matter what the pick is?
Well, I'll tell you guys, the player I feel bad for really is Bubba Watson. And, you know, I think what they've done is they've given Bubba every opportunity to fail. And, when you look at the year that he's had, he's won twice. He's ranked seventh in the world. And when you look at those world golf rankings, I mean, the fact of the matter is only Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth on the American Ryder Cup team as it stands right now are ranked ahead of Bubba in the world golf rankings. And, for whatever reason, they've just been reluctant to put him on the team. And I was really intrigued by Brant Snedeker's comments this week at the news conference that he did at the Tour Championship, where he talked about what a great teammate Bubba is and he's already told Davis that he would love to be paired with him if he was on the team. And, I was with Bubba at the last three Ryder Cups. And I know his detractors point to this, poll that somebody did that said that he was the most disliked player on the PGA Tour. But I never saw anything like that out of him. I felt like he was a good teammate. I thought, he was a good presence. And, he was a stand-up guy. So I don't know what's going on there. I mean, at times I felt like this Ryder Cup team and the way this whole thing has unfolded was almost like being in a fraternity. I mean, if we like you, we're going to invite you to join us, and then we're going to go on this buddies trip to Chicago and play in the Ryder Cup. So I feel sorry for Watson. I think that, in my opinion, the guy that Love really wants on the team is Justin Thomas, and I like Justin. I know Justin's dad, Mike, very well. He was a director at the PGA of America when I was, and I like him. But if you stack up their resumes this year, I just don't know how you can't pick Bubba Watson.
Yeah, and I think I think you're right. I think it's for some reason Bubba isn't fitting into the personalities on this team. I'm not sure what it is. It seems like that he's hung out a lot with these guys. I mean, he's friends with Ricky Fowler and Snedeker's obviously on board with him. We always talk about, though, that the Ryder Cup comes down to putting. So when you start talking about guys that need to make putts, I mean, do you start actually looking at, and I said it before the break, I said, Kevin Kisner, if you look at people that have a hot hand, if that's what they're looking for here at the Tour Championship, Kevin Kisner's tied for third. He is third in strokes gained putting. Is that somebody that you could consider, and does that make the task force look better if they actually say, okay, we're going to take a guy that does something really well that wins Ryder Cups?
No, I totally agree with that. And I think when you look at Kisner, I was just looking at, you know, some of his stats getting ready for this interview today, actually. And you know, I mean, he projects to finish higher in the FedEx Cup points than what Thomas does. I mean, you could really make a case that his body of work for the last for this season has been better than Justin's, although Kisner's not played well really since the end of June. And so I would make the argument. I don't know how much of a hot hand he is. I saw, you know, he was asked a question yesterday about not being invited to go on this, you know, practice round that they played at Hazeltine this week. And he seemed to be a little miffed by that. And I think he'd kind of written himself off as being a potential player that was going to make the team. That was the other thing that was curious to me. I thought you're really sticking your neck out when you invite a handful of guys to go on that trip in the event that somebody did go in there and win this week. But it's just the whole thing's been kind of crazy. I saw a quote that Davis had made this week where he said he thought this might be the best American Ryder Cup team ever. And you know, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Talk to me about the team that Dave Marr, the second captain, you know, back in the early 80s that had like 8 or 9 Hall of Famers on it. I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, what he's tried to do is instill a lot of confidence in these guys. And, you know, we'll just see how that works. I mean, you could maybe make the case that he's put a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking to Ted Bishop, former president of the PGA and PGA of America and author of Unfriended, and you make a really good point. And I think we have to agree to sort of say, okay, he's going to pick of, you know, this final pick's going to come from one of six guys. And it, you know, okay, so let's say that's put that beside us, you know, put that behind us. Where does this team go Monday? I mean, is this the I don't think this is the best team ever put together. What will be this team's strengths going into next week? How does Hazeltine as a track, you know, play into this? I mean, I can't continue to beat a dead horse. I mean, this thing for me has just been botched from the beginning. So let's say we're going to put 12 guys out there starting Monday. They're going to be a team. How does it play out?
Well, I think that's you know, it could possibly play out like a lot of these things have in the past, where on paper, you look at the Americans and you look at the Europeans, particularly with the number of rookies that they've got this year, and you know, you just, I mean, I look at this Ryder Cup and I say, man, if we don't win this year, I don't know when, you know, we're ever going to win. And I think, you know, Clark made a bad pick, in my opinion, when he chose Westwood over Russell Knox. I don't know how you can leave Knocks off that team, and I don't know that Westwood really instills much fear in anybody at this point. So, you know, you look at it, and you're just like, this has got to be the Ryder Cup for the Americans to lose. You know, if we lose, I think that the task force and the captain are going to come under a tremendous amount of scrutiny, probably far more than we did 2 years ago when we lost it at Glen Eagles. And if we win, we're going to have to sit there for 6 months to a year and listen to how the task force was the end all to American success. And the bottom line, guys, as you know, it's going to be just like every other Ryder Cup. It's who plays the best next week on the golf course. And you know, one of the things that has just driven me crazy in the last month is all this talk about chemistry in the team room and, you know, who's a good fit. And, you know, I've been in team rooms. And I mean, I've been in more team rooms than most people have, outside of Ryder Cup players and even tour players that have never played on a Ryder Cup team. And I'm going to tell you, I've never seen a shot hit in the team room, and I've never seen anything said or spoken that was so profound in a team room that it had an impact on the way a guy played the following day. So I just think that stuff is all highly overrated, and it just is going to boil down to performance. And, you know, we certainly look like the stronger team.
Yeah,
on paper.
Ted, we always talk about this. I mean, we've seen it before with the Tiger Woods effect, that, you know, Tiger's been the number one player in the world going into, you know, countless Ryder Cups. And you know, a lot of pressure is always on that top player in the world. When you start looking at it right now, I mean, Dustin Johnson has a pretty good chance to win the Tour Championship. He looks like he's going to wrap up the Player of the Year. Does the pressure fall on Dustin Johnson, and is he the type of guy that can be able to handle this and kind of be the, not really the, I'm not going to say the leader from a leadership standpoint, but more the leader from a playing perspective? This is, you know, the guy that's playing the best in the world right now, potentially. Can he handle this pressure?
No, I don't think there's any question he can. I mean, he's world class, and he's better than anybody on either team at this point in time. And he's a guy that you can pair anybody with him, and they're going to be really tough to beat, no question about it. You know, the rest of the guys, I think it's interesting. I mean, really, when you look at the American team, outside of Phil and J.B. Holmes, there's no other American that's ever played on a winning Ryder Cup team. And I thought J.B. was a good pick, and I thought that you know, the other two captains' picks were good picks, and I love Ricky Fowler. That's the one that's got me scratching my head. I didn't think when he didn't qualify for the Tour Championship, I felt like he had probably played his way off the Ryder Cup team, and I think a lot of us were shocked when Davis picked him, and I thought it was interesting when he was asked, Davis was asked a question about Fowler. You know, his comment was, well, there's just really nothing to like. There's nothing not to like about Ricky's game, and I would say other than just the way he's been playing this year. and I think that I would hope this isn't the case, but I think the fact that Fowler was on the task force probably assisted him in being a part of this team. And, mm-hmm. And again, I think that puts a lot of pressure on Ricky. I think the thing that'll be, to me, that'll be really interesting will be Friday's play. I think if the Europeans happen to jump out to a quick lead on Friday, if they, you know, are able to maintain the lead through Friday afternoon, then I think all of a sudden there's a lot of pressure that gets put on the American team. I mean, people are going to start chirping in the press, and now all of a sudden it's going to be here we go again. So I think what happens on Friday is going to be really big. And if the Americans, on the other hand, jump out to, you know, a comfortable lead, they're able to maintain it in the afternoon, then they could be off to the races, and it could be a big win for the Americans.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you say that Fowler seems to be a task force type of pick and a team guy kind of pick, it makes sense. But when you look at somebody like what McGinley has said this week about, you know, you want really sort of selfish individuals who are playing really well with a common goal. That does not mean that there's chemistry. You can have a bunch of people who are just individuals playing well, coming together with a common goal. Fowler doesn't fit that. So when you look at next week and this thing, if you can forecast and put, you know, take a look into your crystal ball, how does this thing end and why?
Well, that, and I want to bring up one other point McGinley made yesterday that I thought was really an excellent point, is he talked about the timing of naming this 12th guy. And let me tell you what's going to happen to this 12th guy in the 48 hours after they tell him he's on the Ryder Cup team. All of a sudden, even on the back of his mind, he's probably been planning on going to Hazel's team. But all of a sudden, it involves more than just him. It involves his family, his friends. There's ticket issues, there's travel issues, there's lodging issues for his contingency and that are going to go with him. And it can be very mentally distracting. I mean, it can be overwhelming to have to do all this stuff in a 48-hour period of time. So I think you're putting a lot of undue strain on whoever this guy might be. But like I said, I think the bottom line is if you're saying, okay, what's going to happen at the end of this Ryder Cup, it's going to be one of two things. Either we win and people are going to praise the task force for all the work that they did, and I don't know how many actual changes were actually, you know, made, you know, in this whole thing, and if they lose, they're going to be scrutinized more than any other losing Ryder Cup team has been in the last 20 years, and that's saying a lot, really.
Well, Ted, man, we appreciate you coming on with us. The book is doing really well. Unfriended is it's been at the top of the Amazon list.
Yep, it's hit number one in terms of their best-selling golf books in mid-August. So that's been good, and you know, I've enjoyed talking to you guys, enjoyed doing a lot of Ryder Cup interviews here in the last week, and you know, I'm like everybody else. I can't wait to see what happens.
How often do you get out to play golf?
You know, I've not played much this summer. I have spent a lot of time. My background was the degree in agronomy and turf management from Purdue, and I've actually kind of enjoyed getting back into doing a lot more on the golf course maintenance end as an owner than I've done in the past. So I've played very little golf.
There you go. Well, as long as you're having fun, that's what counts, right?
I'm having fun.
There you go. Well, again, we appreciate you hopping on with us, and we're going to see how this Ryder Cup plays out.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.